On today's episode, when dishwashing leads to divorce, making your parents great again, and the best little whorehouse in Texas. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red thoughts. Who do you? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking to my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on.
Hello, hello. This is Lori Beth Denberg, and welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast. Woo! With me, as always, is Clark Roser.
Hello.
Hello, Clark.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's a big week in your house.
It is such a big week.
For several reasons.
Yes, my boy, my five-year-old, he's about to turn six tomorrow.
I know.
It's going to be his birthday, but yesterday he finally went to kindergarten. It was his very first day at in-person kindergarten.
Yeah.
He got to see his teacher. He got to meet his friend that he's been playing with on Zoom. It was a great day. He had a lot of fun.
I'm so glad.
There was about a week ago, there was a day or two where he was starting to get really nervous.
Aww.
But then he quickly got over it and was just like, I'm ready. I can't wait.
Did you dress him up nice in a suit and tie?
I didn't put him in a suit and tie, no.
I know you didn't. I saw the pictures.
It's not a Mad Men school.
thermos full of bourbon. How cute would that be? A little Mad Men thermos and lunchbox?
That would be pretty funny. Aww. I like it. So yeah, we did that. And then the other big news that we did this week is that we got tickets to Disneyland.
Tickets to Disneyland.
I'm so excited. May 24th. It's a Monday.
It's a Monday.
Yeah.
So everybody go there and bother Clark.
Well, you have to live in California.
Yes.
And you have to be willing to reserve tickets.
Oh, you have to live in California.
Yeah, yeah. They won't let anyone in.
I don't know all the ins and outs of it.
But. And there's only like 20 to 30% of the park that they're letting in. So the capacity is going to be really small.
20% of the park that's open or 20%? Oh, like the population will be 20, 30% that Disneyland could handle.
Exactly.
Oh, see. That's kind of awesome.
Right. Which means smaller lines, fewer people. It's going to be like grad night.
I never went.
Oh, sad.
I think you have to grad.
Yeah.
To go. I think they check your GPA at the gate.
Can I say one thing, though? I was actually telling LB a little bit of this earlier, but I forgot to finish my story.
All right.
So last year I went to Florida in February, and they had this food festival where they were all this fancy cool foods. What they had it this year too, even though the parks were, you know, only opened a certain amount because of COVID and stuff, they at least opened up the food festival. And one of the big things this year at the Epcot Food Festival is a hot dog inside a giant pickle.
Ooh.
That is then turned into a corn dog.
Whoa.
Yes. And the big news is Disneyland said that they are bringing that to Disneyland.
What's it called?
I have no idea. It's like the pickle corn dog or something.
That sounds tangy as fuck.
Right?
Whoa.
I'm kind of excited. I kind of want a hot dog pickle corn dog.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was telling Clark as well, but I'll share with you, the listeners. One of the, we haven't done an LB Waste Your Life about her yet, but there's this Chicky, her channel or whatever is called Emmy Made, E-M-M-Y.
Oh, right.
M-A-D-E. And she, it's a cooking.
Little cooking girl.
Yeah, little cooking like videos and stuff.
Love
she
her.
Tries all kinds of, she's cute. She calls other things, like she'll make something little. She goes, it's so stinking cute. And so like she is so stinking cute.
Right, right.
But I just saw a video of her in the last couple of days, like eating her way through Disneyland.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, okay, she's hitting all the right spots.
Yeah, popcorn,
and I was worried,
churros.
Though. Yeah, no, she didn't do popcorn. She did the turkey leg.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She started with the giant turkey leg. And I was like, stop eating it. There's no way you can eat that whole thing and then keep going. She did the churro. She did.
Okay, good.
A bunch of things, like 10 things.
Did she do a Big Mickey pretzel?
She did not do a Big Mickey pretzel. Because I think it's kind of like, how different or good could it be?
Right, right. It's a pretzel.
She did this macaroon that was like the Matterhorn.
Oh, cool.
And it looked really, really cute. Oh. But I'm not a big fan of coconut.
Yeah.
So I thumbs downed the video. No, but she ended. I was like, if she gets all the way through and doesn't eat the New Orleans Square Monte Cristo. Yes. So she did. It was her finale.
Good.
That was like the thing back when things weren't so crazy. And I don't even mean pandemic wise.
Yeah.
We would get to the park, go immediately, make reservations for lunch
at Blue Bayou,
which is a restaurant that's inside Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right. But it's at the very, very, very beginning. Yeah. So you don't get any cool pirates. You just get an old guy that's like sitting on his porch and playing his banjo.
Yes, you get a Deliverance-esque gentleman. And that's what you go by when you first get in your little boat to go on Pirates. When you first are starting the ride, you float by this restaurant.
Yep.
But we would go there and get the Monte Cristo and something else and split it.
Yes.
Because half a Monte Cristo is really good.
Yeah, one person could never make it through the whole Monte Cristo.
And for anyone who doesn't know, a Monte Cristo sandwich is like a turkey ham cheese sandwich deep fried with powdered sugar and jam.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really lend you to having a lot of energy after lunch to keep running around Disneyland.
You just want to eat that Monte Cristo and then go ride on Splash Mountain.
Yeah, exactly. But so it is, as we speak, it is April 21st. So
yes.
I hope everyone had a beautiful family-oriented 420.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So congratulations to everyone who celebrated another year of that.
And exactly. We need like a Santa Claus for 420.
Yes, we do.
We need some kind of a character.
We need a mascot for that. And then a friend of mine put on Facebook, 421, National Surprise Drug Test Day. Which that made me laugh.
That's funny.
And then tomorrow is 422, which is Earth Day, which is Lex's Earth Day birthday. He's going to be 6 years old, which I find personally offensive.
You're telling me I had to walk him into kindergarten yesterday.
I know. This is crazy
how fast it's going.
It's very crazy. I hope he's having a good day at school today.
Yeah, me too. He's in school right now. But as he's in school, I think we should do our job and answer a couple of questions. Are you ready,
Fair
LB?
Enough. Yes.
All right. We are going in. So our first question is from Zach.
Hi, Zach.
And Zach says, I've been in a relationship with a wonderful, wonderful person for about 5.5 years now. She's from another country and, due to the virus, has been stuck in her home country for the past 18 months. And now her U.S. visa is due to expire and she's anxious to get married ASAP. However, I don't feel like I'm ready to get married. I seem to have two options, both undesirable. Do I tie the knot before I'm fully comfortable or end the relationship? That was Zach.
Zach? 5.5 years?
Yeah.
Exactly. 5.5 years, yeah. And you're not quite sure, unless you started dating when you were 14.
Yeah.
Which I doubt. This is a moment to consider, Zach, that you either want to be with this woman or you don't.
Yeah.
And let's make that decision very clear. Really, look in the mirror, look in your heart.
Yeah, after 5.5 years, what do you think is, what is it that you're still waiting for, that you're still unsure of?
I'm not quite sure, says Zach. I don't know. And there's some weird 90-day fiancé nonsense to this. I'm not sure.
A little bit.
Zach. If you've been with this woman for 5.5 years, granted, some of that has been through the pandemic.
Sure.
You know if you want to be with her or not.
Right.
And even if it wasn't your plan to say, I want you to get married right now. I mean, he could be 25. Like, I really don't know.
True.
But if you want this person in your life, and the only way to do that is to get married after 5.5 years.
Yeah.
Do it or don't. But that's going to make or break the relationship, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because 5.5 years, Zach.
Yeah,
I don't even have a lot. There's not even a lot of advice here. I'm just a little disappointed.
When they started dating, Trump hadn't even been elected president.
Yes, if your relationship could weather the last 5 years and a half. Oh, Zach, if you want this woman in your life, if you see yourself being with her, then get married. It might be, you know, it's like, God, it's like a legitimate green card wedding.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, a little bit.
Like most people with green cards are like, well, we met 4 months ago. Let's really make it seem like we fell in love hard and quick. You've got 5 years behind you.
Yeah.
But yeah, this sounds like Zach not knowing what he really wants.
Exactly.
I don't want to give her up, but I don't want to marry her.
Yeah.
Like, how long are you stringing her along until you decide what? Whether or not she can live in America?
But that's the other thing. What is this deciding factor that he's waiting to magically happen at some point?
Yes, what needs to happen for you to be ready?
Yeah, was there more, you need to make sure she doesn't snore for a whole year straight? Yeah. Or... like, what is it that you're, what's that final thing that you're waiting to click in?
I'm just waiting on her bone density results. this is the final thing I need for my checklist, says Zach. Zach, if you want to be with this woman and you want her in your life and you love her,
yeah,
and this is what you have to do to make that happen,
yeah,
fine. If you can still be long distance, and, you know, I guess we should say that.
Yeah.
If it's going to work out long distance, then that's another thing. I have a feeling that this chickie will be like, we're done.
Yeah.
Like,
well, especially, why would she come back to the States at that point? You know, if she's only coming back to be with Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she would just end up staying where she's from. I don't know.
But maybe this is what I'm saying. Is there a 90-day fiance disgusting thing going on here?
Oh, okay.
Is Zach just gross or pathetic? And she is, this is a long con if it's
right.
Really been 5.5 years.
Yeah.
Or is she just trying to get back to start her OnlyFans?
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know the situation.
True.
Hey, Zach's lady, why don't you write in and let us know from your point of view?
Yeah, we could give you way better advice.
Exactly.
Than Zach. Zach, you're going to get some shitty advice today because I think you're in the fault, my friend.
Yeah, it's very possible. You know, it's like with anything in life, the choice is yours and you accept the consequences.
Yeah.
If not having her in your life anymore isn't that much of a problem.
Yeah.
Then say no.
Yeah. And honestly, it's also just like she's waiting on pins and needles to see if she's going to fly to a different country and marry the person she loves. You're afraid you might get divorced. Like, there's no comparison of the two.
Well, I don't think.
Cares whether if you get married, and let's say it turns out horrible, and after 5.5 years, she was one woman, but then you get married and she's totally different.
You find out she has osteoporosis.
Then what happens? You get a divorce and you're over. It's done. Like, yeah, who cares?
That's what that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, but if you're hesitating this much, it doesn't seem like you're desperate to have her and hold her.
Exactly.
So you look into your conscience, Zach. I know I can mom out and use his name all disappointingly.
Zach, I wish we knew his full name.
Zachary Matthew Pachinko. Get in here.
All right, Mr. Pachinko. I hope that helps. And if
I just want to be Mrs. Pachinko.
Yeah, if you're Mrs. Pachinko, please send us an email or a phone message. Let's move on. We're going to go to Manny. And Manny says, I know you live with your dad and help him out. My mother-in-law lives alone in a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house that's too big for her to manage. She lives with her dog about an hour away in a remote area. She's approaching 80 and has health issues. My wife and I have opened our home to her, but she doesn't want to lose her independence. She's fallen and we had to drive out there in the middle of the night, and she often pulls guilt trips that we don't visit enough. We care about her and this tears up my wife. But we just can't go out there weekly. How do we get her to move in with us?
Ugh.
That's Manny.
Manny. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
For your question. I do live with my dad. I do. He's 76. Oh, my dad just got a date for his surgery. A trombone?
Oh, he did.
No. Oh, God. If he had a trombone, he'd be so all over it. No, my dad, as a complete aside, ignoring Manny's question.
Yeah.
Was supposed to have a knee replacement last November.
Yes.
And it got canceled because there was a huge COVID surge.
Yep.
So it's been pretty bad. He's been in a lot of pain and that has been exhausting him.
Is it one knee or both?
He already had the other one done.
Okay.
So it's just the one. And you can tell which one it is because it's like 10 times bigger than the other one.
Oh, I thought it would be like squeaking, like it needed oil.
So he finally got a surgery date in May.
Yay.
So we're pretty, it's such a strange thing where you're like, I can't wait till they rip my knee out.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
A knee surgery is a big recovery.
Yeah.
It's a really big recovery. Apparently it's one of the worst. That's what they told us last time.
I'm scared. I know one day I'm going to have my knees done.
Yeah.
I've broken my knee. Sellers broke one of my knees.
How did Sellers break one of your knees?
Well, he didn't break one of my knees.
Did you owe him money?
No, I was, this was in high school, and it was one of those things where we did a lot of theater, and this is a person that was in our theater group mm-hmm. with us, and I used to do this thing where I would be on the floor, and I would get a little bit of a running start, and then I would just leap onto the stage. Okay. I was able to just go from floor to stage in one big leap.
Until
I went to go do it, and Sellers happened to be sitting on the edge of the stage close to where I was jumping.
Uh-huh.
And he did one of the like fake outs, like, oh, to try and fake me out. And it faked me the fuck out. And I pulled my knee up to try and stop it. And my knee went right into the front of the stage.
Oh, shit.
That hurt a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Sellers, nice move.
Totally got me.
Like, as the ambulance is pulling away, he's like, I fucking did that. Anyway, hi, Sellers.
Yes. Hey, Manny. Oh, yeah, back to Manny.
So the whole point of this is living with my dad. He's 76.
Yeah.
His heart condition. He has back stuff. He has medical issues. And he's stubborn.
Yeah.
And he's stubborn and I moved in with him. I know we're going to retread stuff on this podcast. People, sorry, I only have one life. I moved in with him after he had heart surgery.
Yeah.
To take care of him. And I'm like, well, why don't I just live here?
Yeah.
And he really valued and values his independence.
Mm.
But as time has moved on, he's more dependent. He physically can't do a lot of stuff.
Right.
And I know that really, it frustrates him.
Yeah.
And because it's like, well, he could do it 6 months ago. And
right.
Now, you know, so I understand what it's like dealing with someone who's like fighting for their own independence.
Yep.
And doesn't want to maybe admit how bad things are, but at the same time, and I don't know if there's guilt, like, well, why don't you just come see me more often?
Right.
And it's like, why don't you move next door to my bedroom?
Right.
So first of all, she might not be that horrible of a person.
Sure.
If you want her to move in with you.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of a good sign.
Yeah, like driving an hour a week even is much better than the worst person you know living next door.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does have a dog as well. So at least we know she's safe from intruders.
See, there you go.
I imagine it's like a little old lady dog.
Yeah, exactly.
The most you can do, Manny, is just say, this room is open for you, Mom. This is what we can do. This is what will be best.
Yep.
We want you here. We love you.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to keep you locked in your room.
Yeah.
Here's your own key to the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, she can't expect, well, she does. I mean, she's your mom. She's your parent. Who knows where she is, like I said, on the guilt scale.
Right.
On the whatever.
Right.
But, I'm just thinking about Nanny.
Oh,
But
that's a totally different guilt scale.
I know. All you can do is really let her know, maybe in a kind of a final way.
Yeah.
Like, here, we can visit you once a month, you know, but really lay it on. You know, we love you. We worry about you. You know, if something happens,
right.
You know, it'll even take us more than an hour to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and here's your room. Sell it to her. Like,
yeah,
a little,
that's the thing.
Make a little brochure for your house.
Yeah, maybe that's what she needs. She needs to be sold on the idea. Maybe there is a little bit of you know, a pitch that you need to put together to try and get her to understand. Look, I'm not trying to, you know, weasel you out of anything, mm-hmm. or kind of, you know, force you out of your home for any reason. It just, here, look at the great amenities that you can have at our house.
Yep.
And look at what we can do and be there for you. You know, you got to pitch it.
You got to pitch it. And also, I think she does say that she's guilting them and it's
yeah.
right, tearing her wife apart.
Yep.
His wife apart.
Yeah. His wife apart. So that okay. means that she's guilting them for everything.
Yeah. So my thing is, in life, she can lay the guilt trip all she wants. It's whether or not you let it affect you.
Or let me throw out another possibility here. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guilt trip her back.
Oh.
Maybe you use the power of guilt against her.
Mm.
Maybe, you know, you're trying so hard to help her, but she just won't help back. She won't let you help.
Yeah, she needs to meet you halfway.
Yeah, exactly.
You both need to move a half an hour towards each other. You know, yeah, it's the guilt trips that I can't stand.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that there are good reasons, as you say, that she shouldn't maybe be living alone anymore.
Right.
I mean, you could also get the thing where if she does need someone to live with her, you hire someone to live with her.
Right.
Or she does. She might be loaded.
You could also threaten to say it's time that, you know, she clearly needs help. Maybe it's time she moves into a home.
Oh.
That might scare her enough to get her to come to your house, too.
Yeah. Or she could move into a home. You know what? If there's the money, she could just move somewhere closer to you without living with you.
Right.
But yeah, this shit about guilt trips and all that kind of stuff. If you're doing your best, you're saying, Mom, we love you. We want to help you more. It doesn't work where we are right now.
Come live with us.
You know, what if I'm as far as Clark's guilt trip idea, like, you know, if I don't get your message in the middle of the night and then you were stuck there, I mean, I couldn't live with myself.
Right, exactly.
You know, and maybe that's a way to go. But she could also Craigslist a room out in her house. That's always a good idea.
Yeah.
That never goes wrong.
No, I think that's always a fun plan.
Yes. So I would say have a serious, I've said this before too with my dad. It's like, you get stuck in these positions. You're the kid and she's the mom,
right,
and the guilt and the this. You can rise above that and sit down with this other
adult
and say, this is our situation.
Yeah.
And that's where her guilt trips, her stuff don't matter anymore.
Right.
Mom, here's the reality.
Yeah.
You fell down. We had to go there in the middle of the night. That's not always going to be possible. I'm not always going to hear the phone.
Right.
I'm not always going to be able to run at the, you know, drop of a hat.
Right.
To your house an hour away.
God forbid I miss a message and mm-hmm. you're suffering, struggling, can't breathe, whatever it is, at home alone.
Yeah.
You know, that's a horrible, horrible thought for me.
And you sit down as adults and you have a rational conversation, at least from your side.
Yeah.
And her reaction is her reaction.
Right.
You know, her whatever is her whatever. But it would also be pretty, it's empowering, you know, for her to lay the guilt trip on you and you say, I'm not interested in your guilt trip. We're talking about reality.
Yes.
Because it's like you take away someone's Ooh. Weapon of choice.
So great.
And sometimes they don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say, Mom, if you fall down and have to get amputated, you won't have a leg to stand on.
Especially when it comes to parents, because I feel like parents' weapon of choice is usually guilt.
Yeah.
So once you take the guilt away, parents usually don't want to get into full arguments with their kids.
Yeah, you can't have a rational argument and you know, not have a point.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, all right, I'll move in.
Well, hopefully that helps, Manny. I'd like to hear what happens. So if you want to, you can always let us know.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
So anyway, we have one more question, and then we'll go to our rotating segment. We have Lucy.
Lucy?
Yeah, and Lucy says, my husband doesn't properly load the dishwasher. He puts in dishes on top of each other like they will magically get clean in the places they are touching. Cups are placed in right side up so water collects in them. I feel like I'm forever rehashing dishes. That's from Lucy.
Divorce him. And I'll tell you the thing that makes it clear this needs to happen.
Yeah.
Cups put in right side up.
That is inexcusable.
That is grounds for divorce, and a judge would award you custody of the dishwasher.
How simple is it to put the cups in upside down?
Yeah, people do. I'm pretty sure I load my dishwasher sometimes in a way that people would not like, where I put like something big on the top.
Oh, yeah.
So people don't like that. Seems to work, but I also don't pack it full.
Right.
But cups right side up. I mean, I'm grossed out even when, you know, if you put like a measuring cup or something that has like a little divot in the top.
Right.
And I put it in upside down, but there's still a little water on top. I'm like,
oh, yeah, I hate that. I hate
it's
that.
It's just really bothersome.
Absolutely.
To open up your dishwasher after it's run to a right side up cup. That's blatant. I would take that personally.
That reeks of privilege.
Oh, God.
That reeks of privilege. That's a person who's never had to unload the goddamn dishwasher.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I'm saying? That's a person whose mom never made them do the dishes, who never had to clean out the dishwasher and be like, ugh, what's all this gross water?
So that actually brings up a good idea. It's his job to unload the dishwasher.
Yeah.
You load it, you unload it.
Yeah.
That's the new rule of the house.
There you go. He'll learn how gross it is.
Yeah. The cup right side up.
That's the worst.
Right side up. Not even leaning over. It's not like it was the right way and then it fell down.
Right.
I mean, we're looking at his mental faculties a little bit as well.
Yeah. Seriously.
Just, I wonder what else. Are you noticing anything else going wrong in the house?
This sounds like a person with an evil brain.
Yes.
Like somebody who specifically does evil stuff for evil purposes.
Or is he possessed by the ghost that lives in the dishwasher? The ghost in the machine is guiding, like he goes to put the cup in the proper way and then it just shakes and rotates his hand.
Then he takes like the dishwashing, the cascade, and he just throws it in. Like he doesn't even put it in the cup. He just throws it into the dishwasher willy-nilly. I do not like your husband, Lucy.
No, I don't. Lucy, cut ties. Cut ties. Or go to straight picnic plastic cups.
There you
and,
go.
All paper, that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Paper and plastic cups from now on.
Okay, and before anyone writes in and tells us how we're ruining the Earth as we record this one day before Earth Day, that was a joke.
Yeah, don't use plasticware.
Unless you have a legitimate picnic happening.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Lucy. Hopefully you divorce your husband and everyone.
Yeah, good
wins.
Luck with the next one. That's my thing for Lucy.
All right. Well, those were our main questions for today. Let's move on to our rotating segment of the week. And this one is one of our favorites. It's called Flashback.
Flashing back with Clark and LB. Let's talk about some fond memories. It's a flashback.
I love that jingle.
I love that jingle. Such a pretty jingle. It's so, yes, it really lulls me back in time. So we want to talk about today. Clark and I were like, well, what should we talk about? And we decided to give some anecdotes from when we used to work together as copywriters at an ad agency.
Yeah, we've talked about school. We've talked about
Disneyland
and plays. But there was about... What was it, about 3 or 4 months?
No, two, 6 months.
6 months.
6 months.
6 months that you worked with me at an ad agency together.
Yep.
And the ad agency that we worked at really focused mainly on video games.
Yeah.
So we were really just working on video game advertisements.
Which I am not a gamer, so it was pretty fun.
But it was still great.
Clark
you did
would
a
always
great job.
Say, I did a great job and I sold plenty of spots. We'll talk about a few of those. But Clark would be like, no, it's good you're not a gamer. You'll have, you know, a different perspective. And I'm like, I guess so.
Well, we're constantly being asked to talk to people who aren't gamers. Yeah. So
I said, Clark, what's a Nintendo?
So
Nintendo. It's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad idea. So one of the things that we really wanted to talk about was actually a failed campaign. And when we say failed, we mean like probably millions, not millions, but thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars lost. Because we went through probably about 5 or 6 script changes. We wrote maybe, I don't know, 10 different scripts. They narrowed it down to 3 or 4. We did about 5 different revisions for each of these scripts. We worked for at least a month and a half.
Yeah.
We hired a director. We went to a studio. We filmed 3 of the spots. We put them together. We had an editor working on them. You were in the editing bay with the editor, like working on the edit. And then we got all the way to the final cut. We showed it to the client and they went, eh, we don't like it.
Yeah.
And they never put it out.
This will be a little bit of a backstage show business thing because when they went into, I wasn't at the pitch. I think Clark was.
Yeah, I usually pitch.
Go in to meet the clients and show them what we did. They were like, we love these. We're buying them.
Yeah.
These are great. Okay, and then, of course, go ahead.
Let's set up what these are, first of all, before we go too much further. So the client that was asking us to work on a project was, I forget what the company was.
No, just the game.
The game is called PlanetSide 2. And the whole point of PlanetSide 2 is that like it was a multiplayer where thousands of people could come and fight each other at the same time in the same game.
Yeah.
It was Fortnite before Fortnite was Fortnite.
Yeah.
So people were really excited about this game coming out, and it was PlanetSide 2, which meant there was already a group of people that were PlanetSide 1 fans that were ready and excited for number 2.
Wouldn't that have just been PlanetSide?
Yes, exactly. PlanetSide. but I feel like the ask for us was to try and exactly what you were just saying, to try and get these gamers or even non-gamers that weren't playing this game to maybe show a little interest.
Yeah.
Oh man, that could be fun.
And the crux of it was that there's 3 factions or races or whatever within this game.
Species
so
or something.
All of our
ideas
revolved around like 3 people doing X, 3 people doing Y.
Yeah.
You know, it was all kind of triplicate, you know, and we all know comedy comes in threes. So it's like blah 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
So we, I was very new in this. I mean, there was not a time when I wasn't new. Yeah. I was there,
only
for,
there
6
for 6 months. But still.
But this was very early on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I wrote a couple of them. They liked them. We went and, you know, like you said, cast them. And
let's be clear. This is not like, we did all of this without the client knowing. The people that were making Planet Side saw these scripts, liked these scripts.
Oh yeah.
They saw, they were there when we were filming. They were a part of the process the whole way. I don't know why at the very end, when they were all done, they decided not to ever release them.
Yeah. It was, and there's some really funny like reasoning, but what's interesting though, Clark, is that shooting these spots.
Yeah.
That day, literally, that we shot them was this real turning point for me where I really resolved to get back into acting.
Really?
Yeah, because we were there. It's exciting anyway when you write something and you see it produced. Yeah. We're there on set. The clients are already really unhappy.
Yeah.
And they decided they didn't like our boss and they didn't want him there.
Yeah, that was funny. Oh my God.
So he's there kind of like grimpy.
Yeah.
But
he had to show them that he's going to be there whether they liked it or not.
Exactly. It's always a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
But what was great about the atmosphere was that I show up and I'm on a set.
That's right.
I'm on a TV set.
Yeah.
And it's all familiar to me. It's second nature.
And this was a really cool soundstage too. Yeah, where there was like, you'd walk into a courthouse set and then you'd walk past the juror panel into that door and it would be, you'd walk into a medical office.
It had all
every
these
door led to a new set.
Standing sets, exactly. And we use like an office and a hospital room.
Yeah.
I can't remember what
a
the
military,
third one was.
Yeah. Like a bunker or something.
Yeah. So it was just this really cool little studio.
Yeah.
But I get there and I'm like, okay, I was like in my natural habitat because I know the set. I know what to do. I know the names to learn.
Yeah.
Not that you shouldn't learn everybody's names, but I know to find the second AD and make friends with him.
Yeah.
So that when one of the quote unquote pregnant mothers in the scene I wrote needs to pee, I know who needs to be notified.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. And I remember our old boss.
Yes.
We're not mentioning names.
No.
But just because I'm like in the groove of the set and he said somebody with a ladder was coming through and nobody's saying anything. I go, ladder coming through, make a hole. And he was like, you know everything. And I really just thought like, this is what I know how to do.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't there acting.
Yeah.
It's just being in production. It's like was so easy for me. It felt right.
At that point too, you would also probably you hadn't been on a set since maybe what was the last thing you did before that? Dodgeball?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, because this was a couple of years after I'd gotten sober.
Yeah.
So this is a couple of years after I'd gotten sober. And so I'd been doing all these different jobs of, you know, being a courier and being a dog walker.
Right.
And, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I hadn't been on a set.
Yeah.
Because it was during my time at the ad agency that they called me to do Workaholics.
Oh, that's right.
My command performance.
Yes, because I remember you talking to me about it and me being like, oh, Workaholics is fun. Yeah, you should do that.
Have you seen this before?
Yeah. I like that show.
But yeah, it was just being there and being in production.
Yeah.
Like, I just know what I'm doing. I love it.
Yeah.
And it's so yummy to me. So that was this turning point. But we do shoot these three different spots.
Yep. There was a one that was about military guys. There was one about three pregnant women. And there was one about, I think we called it Patent. And it was about a guy that had a robot sex doll.
And I wrote that one.
Right.
So it was a robot sex doll written by a woman and they'd approved it.
Yes.
And then afterwards, that was part of their thing. Like, well, this one is just not, it's offensive and sexist. And I'm like, who do you think is playing your game? The Gloria Steinem fan base? They're not, they play Call of Duty.
Exactly.
You know? So it was just this kind of like, it's typical though. That's the typical entertainment ridiculousness where somebody loves an idea.
It's great. It's great. It's great. It's great. Then one person doesn't like it. And then it's horrible. Everyone hates it.
Exactly. It's like, this is really great, but does the story have to be at a circus? Because we think a 7-Eleven tie-in would, you know. But so it was just one of those. I mean, it was really fun, though, being there.
I really wish I could. I had these because these were done. They were edited. They were finished. I wish I could get my hands on these just so I could put them out and everyone could take a look at them. I get a weird feeling like they were online at one point, probably not on YouTube, but they were online somewhere.
Yeah.
If any of you are detectives out there and you want to go and try and find them, it was Planet Side 2. One of them was called Pregos. One of them was called
Patent. And one of them was called who knows what?
Yeah.
Military guys.
Semper Fi.
Oh, Semper Fi.
Semper Fi was the third one.
Yeah.
So anyway, if any of you can go find that, that would be amazing.
That would be pretty good.
But yeah, that was a fun thing that we did together. We are running out of time, though. So let's get to our last question of the podcast.
Okay.
So our final question is from Potato Kitten.
Potato Kitten.
I thought you'd like Potato Kitten. And Potato Kitten says, LB, about a year ago, I lost my house. My best friend took me in because I had no place to go, which I will forever be thankful. She's been my best friend for over 20 years. My problem that I need some bad advice for is she's a hoarder. Not dead cats under piles of trash or anything like that, just messy and always collecting things. She'll buy the same thing over and over again. She'll set that item in the mess somewhere, lose it, then buy that same thing all over again because she can't find where she set the original thing down. I don't know what to do. Over the last year, I have tried to clean, but she will get visibly upset because I'm moving her stuff around. I'm having a hard time because without her love and generosity in giving me a place to stay, I would be out on the streets. I have no other family. The housing market in my state has made it impossible to move out on my own on my salary. I love her so much, and I have always known her to be messy. It has been hard because we can't have our joint friends over in that house. I can't have any personal or romantic flings in there because I'm ashamed to bring people over. I don't want to press the issue too much. It is her house, and she was kind enough to open her doors. I do, however, pay a portion of the mortgage. I feel stuck. I don't worry that we aren't going to be friends anymore because we have been through so much together over 20 years. However, I have been super depressed over this. What is overstepping my boundaries? Help me, LB. Thanks.
Wow.
Potato Kitten.
Potato Kitten. Hi, Potato Kitten. thank you for your question, and I'm sorry for your predicament.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me, she says, I knew she was messy, but you didn't know until you got there, like, oh, what the deal is.
Yeah.
Hoarding is an intense emotional, mental illness-ish. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's behind. I mean, there's all kinds of things behind it.
Multitude of things that could cause it.
Yeah, which is, you know, so it's not surprising that somebody that advanced in it would be so upset if you tried to clean. I have friends like that. I'm like that a little bit. I mean, my shit's a mess and I like to hold on to things, but I don't have, you know, like goat trails. I don't have so much stuff.
Right.
I don't have all the newspapers from whatever. Right. Although I'm pretty sure I have bought like 5 times disposable razors and I keep losing them.
Okay.
And I'd like to shave some things right now, but I need to find those razors. I'm not buying more.
Are you sure Potato Kitten isn't living with you?
Oh, maybe my shit is so crazy. I don't know she's even there.
Do we know that Potato Kitten isn't your dad?
Do we know Potato Kitten isn't me? Yeah, that'd be crazy if my dad wrote in some question. He's That's like, funny. What, did you check the mail? Like, he just writes me regular questions into the podcast.
I get an actual physical envelope in my mailbox.
So this is a big deal. First of all, it's, I'm wondering, you said it's not dead cats under that. Yeah. So I'm hoping that it's not, you know, moldy, dangerous territory.
Right.
But, and I was actually surprised when you said I am paying part of the mortgage because this kind of sounded like my friend is helping me out situation.
Right.
The thing to do, the overall piece of this for me would be sitting down with your friend, and it's not about I mean, it is, but it's not about ostensibly, you know, I'm just really have a problem living here with this. It's like, you have got an issue going on. It's yeah. not that you're messy. It's yeah. not that you like to collect things. It's something else behind it.
Yeah.
And as your friend who loves you, that's really troubling to me because right. you're in some sort of pain. You're in some sort of, you know, trauma and you're literally burying it.
Yeah.
And so that to me would be a place to start. Mm. Because the rest of it is just a symptom. The rest of it is like, oh, well, then maybe you don't need to live in my house. And yeah. that is, at the end of the day, probably what I would suggest. You say that you can't afford to live anywhere else, but could you afford to rent a room in someone's house?
Well, she's obviously can afford to rent a room in this house.
Yeah, precisely.
So would there be, you know, she says she doesn't have any other family, but maybe there would be another friend.
Another friend, or she says she can't afford, yeah, if you are paying, that's what surprised me when you said you're paying part of
yeah,
the mortgage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like you can
afford something.
Exactly. You can't afford to rent a room, you know, through a reputable, you know, housey searchy and, you know, search engine or whatever
right.
to look into legitimate people posting,
yeah.
you know, room for rent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that might be the thing to do to get yourself out of this situation. It's not going to work for you to be like, okay, we're going to clean this place
yeah,
up
yeah.
or let's go. You know, it doesn't turn into a, you know, rom-com montage over Jackson Brown
right,
while you like
montage.
Spit shine the quick kitchen.
Right.
Oh, the trash bin is full again.
I mean, if that could happen, great. But I don't
no,
see
that
happening
happens
in
and your friend
house.
Goes in the bathroom and slits her wrist.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That might be hyperbolic, but
yeah.
when somebody is in this hoarding
mentality,
exactly, there's so much more underneath it.
Yep.
It's not that, oh, things got a little out of control. It is definitely related to mental illness.
Yeah.
It is abandonment. It is this just pathological need to hold on to stuff, the security of this stuff, the control over it.
Mm.
And that's not a, hey, why don't we do some spring cleaning?
Right.
Like the really deep, dark emotional issues
right.
underneath it need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And so if this person of your friendship, you know, isn't seeing a therapist, like these are really things to impress upon her.
Yeah.
You can get out of the house.
Yeah.
You can get out of the house.
Yeah.
That's a different thing than helping your friend.
Right. Well, she's asking specifically with what would be overstepping my boundaries. And I think that's really it here. Like
yeah.
this is none the crux of the question.
Yeah. None of that I said, sitting down, really talking to your friend,
yeah.
asking your friend, can I help you find some help? Can
right.
I help you look for a therapist? This is a much bigger thing.
Right.
And to have a real understanding of the fact that most hoarders are just not messy people.
Right.
They're just not collectors.
Or lazy.
Or exactly. Or lazy or gross. That there is just emotional trauma and emotional problems
yep.
underneath.
Yep.
And that's their symptom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that none of that would be overstepping your bounds to sit down with your friend that you absolutely love.
Yeah.
That even after this, you say, I'm not worried we won't be friends.
Right.
You know,
especially if you're going into it, not being like, hey, I want a cleaner house, but going into it like, hey, I think you, my friend, have a problem and I want to be there to help you.
Yeah. And
this is not about me or the house or cleanliness. This is about our friendship and I need you to be a healthy, happy person.
And that might be well done in conjunction to you saying, I'm renting a house somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because this is a problem.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen? Well, I can predict the future. You know, is that addressing this with someone with a hoarding issue will be taken, you know, will they will be defensive.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, well, you know what? If this house isn't good enough for you, then you should leave, you know, or whatever. Right. Because they, because it is an anxiety panic attack right. when somebody's touching your, those are my Coke cans that I've kept for 20 years because I'm going to turn them into a mosaic. And right. Like all this stuff that, you know, every piece of whatever in a hoarder's house has some meaning. I'm right. not saying that it's legitimate. I'm not saying that it's legitimate to them.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to fix that. And then I'm going to do this. And then, and you know, and that's the kind of manic aspect of it.
Right.
So if you address it in any sort of like, you know,
we need to fix this place.
Yeah. That's not, that's the symptom.
Yeah.
And
that's just going to lead to arguments and defiance. And
yeah,
and you're so right. The best way to eat is to either you got to not. This isn't a conversation about the house. This isn't a conversation about hoarding. It's a conversation about your mental health.
Yeah.
And or I love your idea of already coming into the conversation, having a different place
yeah.
that you can say, look, I feel like I need to move out because, you know, and maybe you save that in your back pocket. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you keep that in your back pocket? If she does throw that out at you of like, well, if you don't like it here, you can leave.
Yeah.
You can kind of throw out, look, I already have a place.
Yeah.
I know I can move to a place. I'm more concerned about you.
Yeah.
Right. You want to maybe hold on to that in your back pocket.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's rough.
Oh, good luck.
Ugh.
Good luck.
Good luck, potato kitten.
Potato kitten.
Well, that was it. That was it. That was our final question. We are doing, I had a fun time.
I did too.
A fun podcast. You know, we really had so much fun a couple of weeks ago doing the Trivial or Trivia. I would love if anyone out there listening, if you have any little things that you've always wanted to know about Lori Beth, like little small mundane things or bigger things. We love doing that kind of quick rapid fire question and answer. So if you have any of those questions or any other questions that you'd have, please send it to us. We need more questions and we love what we're getting.
Yeah.
So if you have a good question, please send it to all of our, we could go to our socials at Ask Lori Beth. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on all the socials.
Twitter, Instagram, and Face. Are we on Facebook?
We're on Facebook. Yeah, sure. For the oldies.
Oh.
But anyway, you can send it to us directly at AskLoriBeth.com. Or you can leave us a message with your name and where you're from at 1-855-336-2374. That's 1-855-DENBERG, D-E-N-B-E-R-G.
And you can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram, at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter, and there's the Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook. That's ooh. What the Facebook thing is.
Oh, there you go.
And you can book me for a post 420 cameo for your best smoking friend at cameo.com/Lori Beth.
Yay!
Also, hashtag 1 million hugs.
Yes, yes, yes.
And everyone take care of yourselves.
All right, have a fun week and we'll talk to you later.
Bye, Bubbas.
Bye.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.